Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, welcome back here to 790 The Ticket as we have completed yet another shift change here in the studio. As Hawk was saying earlier, that we are trying our best not to confuse everybody, but based on all the changes that have taken place at this radio station over the last less than a week, I can imagine there are some in their cars right now, or depending on how you access the radio program, like, all right, what on earth is going on? Like, you're not simulcasting today. New people are on all the time. So let's just set the stage for everybody. Greg Likens here with you. Brian Monroe, nice enough to join us now in studio. Dan Day is producing the program. This is going to be the triumvirate taking you up until 6 o'clock.
This is like the radio equivalent to a preseason game. Like, the starters were in for a little while, now we're in. You don't know who's going to be coming in next and doing what. Radio equivalent to preseason football.
That's fair. I think that's a good comparison. We were saying earlier that...
What you calling me, a third string over there?
Well, that's the only thing. Dan Day's taking some shots basically at all of us.
Look.
Oh. I'm just saying. As it was coming out of my mouth, I realized that I was even disrespecting myself some. So,
I'm just
messing.
But, Brian, it's good to see you, man.
Yeah, man, for sure.
How's everything going with you?
Oh, man, everything's great, man. Tomorrow's Friday. The weekend is here. We got football tonight.
We do.
Come on, man. How can you not be excited right now?
11 preseason games, including the Dolphins game tonight against the Falcons. But 11 preseason games across the National Football League. The idea of it is exciting.
Yes.
Right? I'm excited that football is back, that we're going to have all the teams in action. We're going to get our first glimpse of a lot of young players making their debuts. We can go over the list of those guys. And just in general, depending on what market you live in, which team you support, you get really, other than the two teams who participated in the Hall of Fame game last week, including the Falcons, the Dolphins' opponent tonight, you get the first chance to see it. And for the Dolphins especially, because there was no scrimmage.
Nope.
So for all the people that don't have the ability to go out to see some of the open practices, this is your first glimpse of the 2019 version of the Miami Dolphins. So that's all exciting. Although, as Dan was alluding to, depending on who's playing and as the game goes on, it may be less exciting as the evening rolls on.
Yeah, but one thing about the Dolphins is that their roster, normally when you go into a training camp, you pretty much say if it's a 53-man roster, 38 to like 42 is already set.
Right.
Right. When you're going into training camp, they already know pretty much everybody on the team except for like, you know, some of the young guys. This roster that the Dolphins have, I'd probably say like we'd probably be in the 20s with this team. So even though you might see a young guy, that's a young guy that actually might contribute, like a Preston Williams. He's been one of the stars of this training camp, and he's looking to make a big impact. And even if he gets into the third and fourth quarter, that's a guy Dolphin fans are going to want to pay attention to. And then you got some of the younger guys, the middle linebacker they got from Canada, Van Ginkle, one of their draft choices, Dieter. Like, those are guys you'll see play significant time, but also could possibly make an impact this year, which I'm excited for. You know, we got some local talent out there. You know, you'll see Mark Walton out there. You'll see Alan Hearns out there. So it's actually a game there. You're like, you know what? There's probably going to be some decent dudes in the second half for this game.
Yeah, it's a really good point. With all the different angles.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many different reasons to watch. And it's funny, like if you take a look at the macro version of this Dolphin season, Hawk and I were talking about it this hour, I guess, earlier with these clocks and everything. It was this hour, so we're almost in the next hour. But we were discussing the whole notion that had the Dolphins not traded for Josh Rosen, there wouldn't be one outstanding major storyline that we're all interested in. It would be a lot of, like, listen, diehard Dolphins fans or fans of any team, you're going to find the various position battles and different elements that you're going to be excited about. But for the big picture, and you're looking at from a national perspective, what makes the Dolphins interesting, if Rosen wasn't a part of this group and there was no quarterback competition, then there would not be this real magnifying reason to watch for somebody who is a casual Dolphins fan or somebody from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
But we have that, and so that starts in earnest tonight. But you're right, there's all these other storylines that I know the diehard Dolphins fans will be watching carefully. The diehard fans who are watching all four quarters and are checking to see, hey, even if some guy doesn't do this well or does that well, maybe he's a practice squad candidate, right? You know there's some fans out there that are interested in watching all of those different things.
But you nailed it. You know, if you didn't have Rosen on this roster, you're talking, okay, Fitzpatrick will play first couple of series, and when we get Jake Rudock the rest of the game, or probably whatever quarterback they would have signed instead of Rosen. But now you're talking about Rosen's probably going to play into the fourth quarter because it's the first game. Now you actually get to see the two guys battling out for a long period of time, when normally you ain't never getting that. Like, look at Atlanta's last game. Who didn't play? Like, everybody. Now you'll get to see the Dolphins. Both their quarterbacks are going to play, and they're going to play for a long amount of time. The only game you probably won't get to see the quarterbacks play lengthy is the fourth game. Other than that, these guys are going to play a significant amount of time, and it's the most important battle. So at least Dolphins fans can get excited to have both their guys going for a long period of time.
Well, and to that point, I want to piggyback on that because Brian Flores was quoted as saying this week, I'll just read it to everybody, says, quote, everybody's got to be ready to play for an extended period of time. We'll see how the game goes. There's no you're in three plays and you're out. There's no set parameters. As far as the substitution process from that standpoint, they all know it could be three plays. It could be 30 plays. It could be 50 plays. We'll see how the game goes. End quote. Realistically, how much do you think we're going to see a lot of the regulars? And I know that each individual player, probably depending on their injury situation, they may have different considerations. But is this going to be different than, say, an established roster, right? Like a team that's been to the playoffs that doesn't have a first-year head coach. Do you think Brian Flores approaches this differently than if he were, you know, say, back in New England with a team that's coming off a Super Bowl?
He'll have select few guys that he know are, okay, they're going to make the roster, or they're a little bit dinged up, so they're not going to be starting. Like, there'll be a couple defensive guys I anticipate not playing too much. Xavier Howard, you know, Jerome Baker, he got the injury a little bit nicked up. So you'll probably not see those guys go, but, you know, your offensive, yeah, they're going to go. I mean, we might see Fitzpatrick for 2 to 3 series, maybe, but this is a roster that is so up in the air. Like, who's your starting running back? We don't know. The depth chart came out. It was 1B, 1A, 1B. Mm-hmm. Who's the starting receivers? We don't know. We think it's going to be Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, and Jakeem Grant, or Albert Wilson. Well, we don't know, though. So Flores, to me, he seems like a type of guy that's want to see what you're going to do in game situation. Nobody's roster spot is set. You have to go out there and earn it. I'm a new coach. This is a new scheme. You guys have been terrible the last couple of years. We're trying to do something great here. So everybody has to compete to take their – pretty much you got to earn your position. And I want to see you steal it from the guy next to you. I can see guys playing more significant amount of time only because this roster is so – who's that? Like, this guy's coming on – who's he? Undrafted? Played where? All right, great. If he's playing that much better than Devontae Parker, I'm down. So when the lights go on, Devontae Parker's got to hold his water and say, this is my spot, young buck. You can be on the practice squad.
Going to be really interesting. And I would say for a first preseason game, this is going to be more entertaining than others in years past, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Based on everything you're saying.
Think about it like this. What other team are we really going to see the starting quarterback start in game one? What other team in the NFL is starting their quarterback in game one of the preseason?
I mean, if they do, it's just for maybe a series.
A series.
And that's it?
This team is starting Fitzpatrick, who I believe is going to be starter day one, and he's probably going to get a significant amount of time in the first preseason game. You don't get that around the league.
But you know what's funny about that is that in years past, when the expectations have been different, I feel like fans and media alike would say, you know what, I understand the coach wants to see what the guys have, but why would you risk the injury? And now this year, it's like, hey, let's just see him for as long as it takes, because this season, again, I know that Brian Flores and everybody in that facility, they don't feel the same way that everybody else does on the outside, and hopefully that motivates them. Certainly, there have been some players who have admitted that they're fueled by that, and great, you know, more power to them. That's the way that the whole game works, so to speak. But the bottom line is most people on the outside are like, hey, you got nothing to lose. This season is one of those. It's going to be a developmental season, so might as well get them reps while you have the opportunity, even if it happens to be the preseason.
Yeah, because it's going to be very curious, because normally how this works is, you know, game one is starters mostly sit. Game two, starters get in there maybe a series. Game three, that's the big-time game for your starters. You'll probably get them for a half to three quarters. For me, how this quarterback battle is going, do we keep Fitzpatrick in with the ones today for a whole half, and then game two, Rosen gets to get with the ones for a whole half, and then you get decided to say who starts game three will probably be your starter for the season opener.
Right.
So today could tell a lot. How long does Fitzpatrick stay in there? How long does the ones offensive line stay in there? Because that's the biggest thing. If you can't keep your quarterback upright, you can't decide who's the better quarterback if he's always on the ground. So that, to me, is going to be the curious part. How long do the ones O-line stay in with Fitzpatrick? Because he is starting tonight.
Right, and will you be able to get a fair evaluation of Josh Rosen if he's only playing with the second unit?
Well, he goes with the twos this game, but next game I would anticipate that he'll go with the ones.
I get that feeling as well.
And be with the one O-lineman to actually see what do you have in him. And then they can go back on the film and say, okay, this is how this guy looks. That was a guy. You know what? He's going to be your starter game three, which means that's most likely going to be your starter for the season opener. Because in game four, you ain't going to see nobody. It's going to be all the fourth-string, third-string guys that are on the bubble. Maybe they're looking at two guys to make the last two spots. Other than that, you won't see nobody in the fourth game. Never. Doesn't happen. So these first two games, normally it doesn't mean anything. Now it does, because we have to decide who's our quarterback game three, which is at this, you know, de facto type starters play the most games.
Right, they call it the dress rehearsal.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, I remember when I was in San Diego, game one, these dudes are just, we going up for warm-up and stuff like that. They got the sunflower seeds. The starters are just chilling. I'm like, you know, we got a game here. And half the dudes are like, y'all got a game. We ain't playing nothing, man. If y'all need some help, let us know. I was like, wow, it's like that around here, huh?
Yeah, you want some moral support, we'll help you. We're not going to be out there physically.
That's really
what
it is. Yeah. But I think that's the exciting thing for Dolphins fans. Your preseason actually means so much more than most of the rosters in the NFL. And you're going to see guys play a lot longer that will be your starters in the regular season. Only because you look down the roster and you're like, first depth chart, three tight ends may be the starter. Two running backs may be the starter. Like, who are the starters? Like, we have no idea. And that's the exciting thing, is like, we get to see all that unveiled tonight. And then, who plays the longest? How long do they play Fitzpatrick with the 1-0 lines? And that'll dictate how long they'll play Rosen in game two as a starter with the 1-0 lines. Because that's the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you could put the different receivers and running backs in there. It's all about the O-line, because you have to be able to see, can he make the throw? Yeah, if the receiver drops the ball, we at least know he had the right read and he put the ball on him. So if that was the number one, he would have made the catch. But you need that number one group for him to play with.
It's going to be fascinating, and it all starts tonight. Just to reset for everybody, for those who have maybe in the last few days gotten used to the fact that this show is simulcast on both stations. On the other station, we're, of course, broadcasting on 790 The Ticket. On our sister station, 560, you can hear Channing Crowder, who's normally in this studio right now, and he's part of the pregame broadcast on the Dolphins Radio Network. So that's going on while we're on.
So he's at the stadium.
He's at the stadium right now.
Ah, okay. I saw something, you know, with him in online or something.com. I was like, what is going on today?
Yeah, it's all over the place. Hawk was here, who's normally sitting in this chair for the first 2 hours of the show. But myself, Greg Likens, Brian Monroe, we're with you until 6 o'clock. Dan Day is with us as well. Now, Dan, I'm not putting any undue pressure on you, because I just see something popping up on my Twitter timeline. So there is a notable piece of information, some breaking news about a former Dolphins player, which if you don't get to in the headlines, I'll make mention of. But I know that we've got headlines. I don't know are we combining, I'm saying this facetiously, but are we combining like the day spa with the headlines? Is that the experience we're going with now?
Yeah, that's what we're doing today.
Let's get to it.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Lots of confusion going on, at least with this radio station, but be sure the Dolphins will kick off against the Falcons tonight, 7:30, Hard Rock Stadium. They have also signed former high school football player of the year, Robert Kim Dichie was playing for the Arizona Cardinals. He got injured, ACL tear, got cut in December. Dolphins picked him up. They're supposed to be signing him very soon. If not, no, they have signed him. He's going to hopefully be back on the playing field in September.
Yeah, he's coming off an ACL. He reported to Cardinals camp out of shape. You know, like they want him to be in a certain physical condition in terms of his process of getting back into football, and he did not fulfill that. He's also had a series of arrests going back to college.
Do we know if he's going to get suspended or not?
We don't. So this is one of those high-risk, or I guess it's a low-risk, high-reward type of deals in the sense that if things don't work out, they can just get rid of him. But I don't know. I was
looking at it and be, how high reward is it with this kid, right? Because he came in all heralded and stuff like that. He had his issues in college. He fell out of a four-story building, get charged with substance. And, like, is it that high of a reward? He hasn't done anything with the Cardinals. Yeah, he was the number one overall recruit coming out of high school. But we see a lot of high school recruits that don't ever live up to the hype in college.
Well, that's the thing, right? So it feels like he continues to live off of that number one recruit moniker.
Yeah.
When, you know, in college he was a good player. He wasn't, like, a great player. And he fell to, the 29th pick of the Cardinals in 2016. And he had 4.5 sacks last year. But before that had struggled. I think he played nine games, then finally played in 12 games last year, something along those lines. So he's missed a bunch of games due to injury and other reasons. And he hasn't been ultra productive. So I would imagine, though, this is interesting. The Dolphins on their roster, they got Laramie Tunzel, who was his college teammate, and Josh Rosen, who was with him last year. And this just seems to be the place where former first-round Cardinals picks come. Like Josh Rosen from last year, Kim Dichie from a couple of years ago.
I would just say this. Just keep him away from South Beach, okay?
I was going to say the Dolphins are a lot like me. It seems like they like hot messes.
Yes, because I know I don't know if it's still his agent, but I remember when they were recruiting him to be represent him for the draft, and he had this huge entourage, and he was money this, money that, and all the dudes were all yes men. And everybody knows here, if you have a bunch of yes men in your group, you will not succeed off the field, and most likely on the field you have issues. So for him, I hope he got rid of his group, whoever was those guys that were around, they're always yes men. But, you know, right now you have two arrests, you have powdery substance in your car, you had some weed things. So it's like, if he can stay away from that and focus on football, the Dolphins might have something. But when it comes down to it, those type of guys that keep going in those little running here, it normally has to do with the guys you keep around you. And I'll tell you one thing. A couple years ago when he was coming out, I saw them out. I was like, that dude's going to be broke real soon. Because, you ain't even got the money and you popping how many bottles?
Well, you're talking about money. And now that we know in hindsight what happened at Ole Miss with Hugh Freeze, it would appear that that's probably why he ended up at Ole Miss.
Oh, listen. Right? Come on, man. I mean, you know, I was reading somewhere Adam Beasley said something and then Joe Shad snapped back at him saying, don't slander this guy's name if you got facts. I was like, facts. Well, there was the report that came out where Tunzel's stepfather was the family member one that took $800. And then Tunzel also posted on draft night about text messages to his coach about giving me money for rent. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the account was deleted, air quotes, and his account was hacked. I guess that means that didn't happen. But, hey, you guys go ahead and be stubborn all you want.
Yeah, these guys got to remember we're in Miami, not Arizona, not Cleveland. But speaking of Cleveland, the Browns have traded former Canes running back Duke Johnson Jr. to the Texans. In return, Cleveland will be getting a fourth-round pick in 2020.
Yes, I want to talk about that in a little more depth a little bit later on, but that's really cool to see two Canes in the backfield for the Houston Texans with Lamar Miller and Duke Johnson there. What else you got for us, Dan?
All right, we're going to take a little downward turn. Do you guys remember that John Franco movie, 127 Hours?
Yes.
127 Hours. Is that the guy stuck up in the...
He was, mountain climbing.
Between rocks.
That was one chopped up his arm?
Chopped off his own arm, drank his own urine, all that good stuff.
Great. Oof.
You can't forget those scenes. Well, it's happened in real life. A Cambodian man...
Great.
Collects bat droppings, survives being wedged between rocks for 4 days.
Guano, you want some guano? This tastes so good. What is this? This is guano.
Oh, gosh, that's
Ace Ventura,
terrible.
Baby.
You got to eat something, man. You're trapped between a rock. What do you do? When you're thirsty, man. When you're hungry, bat dropping's probably your best option.
I don't know about that, man. I think I drink my own urine before that.
Really?
What?
It's your own.
It's my own stuff. Like, I don't got to worry about no, like, diseases coming from bat poop. Like,
right.
I think you're... No pun intended, between a rock and a hard place, yeah, whenever you get stuck like that, man.
Real quickly, Dan, I want to add to the headlines here. See, Adam Schefter tweeted this about 15 minutes ago, that the NFL has suspended former Dolphins defensive end Robert Quinn 2 games for violating the policy on performance-enhancing substances.
Ooh.
So he spent 1 year here in Miami. He's now with the Cowboys. And I know he left practice the other day with like a broken wrist or finger.
Hand or something like that. Yeah. Well, at least it gives him time to heal, right?
I was going to say. So.
B. Monroe, you might be able to tell us a little better. How easy is it to break the league's policy? Do some people just, you know, you're taking something over the counter, or is it something you blatantly have to do? Can you
accidentally? Are we talking about substance, or are we talking about PEDs?
Let's talk about PEDs at first.
All right, so it's very hard to break it, because you have so many easy steps for you not to get caught, right? Once, you know, I worked in a supplement company. The first thing you do you have to be either informed choice with the check mark, meaning there is no banned substance, this product you can take, but you're still supposed to take it to your trainer, and your trainer goes and gets it scanned, and it comes back green or red, meaning green, good to go. Red, you can't take it. The only problem is these guys nowadays are just like, what's a product? Oh yeah, he's my boy. We work out. Cool, no big deal. And then if you see the list of stuff that are illegal, you would be shocked. Like if you took too much Viagra, you pop. You pop on the thing. Like I was like, say what? Too much Viagra?
In more ways than one.
In more ways than one, exactly. Yeah. Now the alcohol and drugs, you're a moron. You are a moron if you get popped on the marijuana test. If you're not in the system already, that's the difference. If you're in the system, you're screwed. You are literally screwed. They can show up to your house whenever they want. They can drug test you once a week. Doesn't matter. You could be on vacation. They'll show up. But if you're not, there's a text message that go around with all the players. Hey, drug test, 2 months, April, whatever. Okay, cool. You know if you smoke weed, just don't smoke weed for a month before. Do some cleansing, and they'll never talk to you ever again. So when guys get popped on I'm just like,
you then
what?
Have a full year, and so you have to worry about it again.
You have a full year, but if you get into the program, you're screwed.
Yeah, didn't you say one time they came and found one of your buddies on a boat?
Oh, yeah. They'll call you and be like, where you at? I'm on a boat. Cool. We're at the dock whenever you get back. What? Really? Yeah, we're going to go right into that bathroom right over there, and then you're going to come in. Then you can go.
Don't get stranded out there on the open water, right?
It is crazy if you are in the program. Like that's what and now all these guys are getting caught at the combine, and they're already in the program going in as a rookie. And people understand, you can't drink in the program. You can't have alcohol. If you get into alcohol and weed, you cannot have alcohol. So like when, Pac-Man Jones, mm-hmm. when he was trying to be good and like have the club in his house and the pole and everything, I was like, hey, at least he's trying to be like somewhat responsible and not drink and drive and invite everybody to his crib. But yeah, man, you get in that program, I feel sorry for you, boy. You ain't having no fun.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all. Although, I mean, if you get in the program, it's self-inflicted. So
of course.
Yeah, it's hard to feel too bad for anybody not having any fun. You know.
You look at these dudes and you're like, how dumb can you be?
Right, because you have this tremendous opportunity to make so much money in a relatively short period of time, so you need to capitalize on it.
Yeah, now I get it. I get there's addictions. There's addictions out there that some people cannot get away from. I understand that. But a lot of these guys aren't addicts like that. They're just recreational, just smoking weed or whatever you want to say. But if you're a recreational guy, I tell you, hey, by the way, for 10 years, don't smoke weed. I'm going to give you $50 to $75 million for 10 years. And when you're 32, you can smoke all the weed you want and retire. Bro, give me that challenge right now. I'm down. Like, it makes no sense to me. But I get the guys with addiction and stuff like that. But most of the guys, listen, I've been around a ton of these dudes. It's not addiction. They just, it's what they do socially.
Yeah. And so that is for substance of abuse.
Yes.
That's what the NFL categorizes that. For Robert Quinn, this apparently was a PED test or some substance that is on the list that they believe can enhance your performance. So, I don't know. We see this more often than not in older NFL players once they get to a certain age. But I also feel that it seems like, yes, we look down on baseball. It's if you get caught PEDs.
Oh, man. Some guy just got popped 80 games.
Yeah, Tim Beckham did for the Seattle Mariners. But in baseball, it's like the worst thing that can possibly happen. We don't see it very much, if at all. I mean, very rarely in the NBA. Hockey, we don't see it too much either. But in the NFL, it seems to be fairly commonplace that we'll see a guy get, okay, 2 or 4 game suspension. And, you know, if they continually get hit with it, it's worse than that. But I feel like it's looked at much differently in football. It's such a physical sport. You're putting your body on the line. It's like you see some of these notable names who get popped, and it's like, okay, yeah. Like, you kind of understand why. But not that you would condone it, but at the same time, in baseball, it's like, oh, my gosh, you get a scarlet letter on you for the rest of your career because you were popped for PEDs. In football, it's like, I'll be back in 4 games.
But I also think in football and baseball, they take different things, right? So the guys, you know, back in the day, even like 5, 6 years ago, HGH wasn't tested in the NFL.
Right.
So a lot of guys took HGH because it was legal for them. But, you know, you look at some of these things and some of these guys that got popped and stuff like that. Like, I know a guy that got popped in. He was taking a product from a company for years and took one of the wrong products because someone sent it to him, and he literally got suspended for an estrogen blocker. That's it. Like, you look at it and you're like, an estrogen blocker.
That sounds like the Golden Tate situation in a way.
So it's like, what? So when people are like, oh, he's taking steroids, I'm like, no, not all these guys are taking steroids. And most football dudes, you don't want to take steroids because it really doesn't help you as far as your game. You want to take recovery stuff, things to speed up your recovery, because since you felt like you just got hit by a bus. And also HGH is more of a recovery, and it gives you energy, and you get a little bit bigger and explosive. But now that's illegal too. But when people say, oh, we got popped for PED, and I'm like, all right, I want to see the product. They're like, well, it's steroids. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, you need to see the product because the list of things is huge, and you can't even understand some of the names. Like, I could tell you a guy got popped for estrogen blocker. Is that a steroid? They're like, damn, really? I'm like, yeah, man, like, it's a lot. But that's why guys got to take it to their trainer.
Yeah, very avoidable in many situations.
Hey, listen, I'd be guilty of it too. Sometimes you're like, I'm not taking this all the way to my trainer. Like, but it's easy. Just snap a picture, send it in, let him do his test. And then if you at least go with somebody that has like the check mark that says informed choice, you at least, if you do get popped, you can sue the butt off of them and win.
There you go.
Because their products are supposed to be banned substance free from all of the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, there you go. So Robert Quinn, the latest to show up on that list. 2-game suspension for him. We got a lot more to get into, Brian. Between now and 6 o'clock when we sign off, we're going to talk much more about the Dolphins preseason opener. Do want to get your thoughts on the Canes as well. We come back, want to talk some college football with you as well. So stay tuned here on the Hawk and Crowder Show. Greg Likens, Brian Monroe, in for the guys here on this Thursday. National champs, the Clemson Tigers. And so Dabo Swinney is in the headlines because yesterday – he was asked about the decision not to send former quarterback Kelly Bryant a national championship ring, and he said in response to that, quote, he wasn't on the team. You've got to be on the team to get a ring. I love Kelly and appreciate what he did for us, but he decided to move on, end quote. And for those who forget, Kelly Bryant had appeared and had played in, what, the first 4 games for the Clemson Tigers before Dabo Swinney made it official that Trevor Lawrence would be the starter, and then Kelly Bryant opted to remove himself from the team, and now he's a grad transfer. He's going to play at Missouri. So that's how that all went down, although it's a bit ironic because the game after he left the program,
he got knocked out.
Trevor Lawrence got hurt against Syracuse. They almost lost that game. They ended up winning still. They ended up going to win a national championship. And, like, let's be honest, Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback, especially as a freshman. So you kind of understand the whole dynamic. What do you make of this situation? Because, you know, we look at, like, the NBA or even the NFL, oftentimes players – who even appear just for part of the season on a team, they'll still get a championship ring if that team ends up winning the title. In this case, what do you think of Kelly Bryant, who is a big part of the success that program has had over the last few years, not getting a championship ring?
I think it's BS, but it doesn't shock me with Dabo Swinney. He seems like the type of dude to do that. And for me, it's, yeah, he didn't finish on your team, but your hardest game of the year was the second game of your year when you guys went to Texas A&M. You came out with a 2-point victory. Now, we know Trevor Lawrence is great rookie quarterback, freshman, amazing. He's done a lot of great things. Do I think he would have done the same thing at Texas A&M with that type of crowd? I'm not sure. But I do know one thing. Kelly Bryant passed for 205 yards, rushed for another 54 yards, and had two touchdowns. By the way, you won by two. Mm-hmm. 2 points. So that means he helped you to the biggest victory of the year to keep you guys on path to win a national championship. He sweated with your guys in the offseason. He went through training camp. He had tears with your players in the offseason and in training camp. To me, this is just it's such a sucker move. Like, just send the man his ring. Like, he was on the team. He helped you with the biggest victory of the year besides the playoff and everything else. But if you lose that game to Texas A&M, you're most likely not in the playoff. So you can thank him for that by sending him the ring to say, those two touchdowns that actually won us the game, appreciate it, and just keep him moving. Like, you sound like such a better coach if you just send him his ring and keep him moving. Now you make it a story by saying, oh, he wasn't on the team at the time. Oh, but I bet you give the equipment guy that never stepped on the field a ring. I bet you they give the guy in the office a ring that never stepped on the field. But now you don't want to give it to him because he didn't finish with you because he saw the writing on the wall and wanted to give himself a better opportunity to make it to the NFL when he only has this 1 year left. Come on, man. But this is also the same dude with the comments about, you know, the paying players and everything else. Like, man, I used to like Dabo Swinney. He's turning for me now with Dabo.
Well, because you could make the argument that if there was a player on Clemson's roster that was not a regular player, he wasn't on the field, he's just at the end of the bench, and he decides to transfer, you know, four games into the season, I can see not including him on the list for the who gets rings. But you're talking about not just a player who you made some good points about maintaining their perfect season in terms of staying undefeated, being eligible for the playoff, and ultimately win a national championship. But also when you consider that Kelly Bryant had been such a big part of the program over the preceding 3 or 4 years, right, in terms of getting this university and the program to national prominence or maintaining that, right, over a certain number of years. He took over from Deshaun Watson. And yes, Deshaun Watson, you know, won the previous national championship for them. But Kelly Bryant maintained a level of play where they were always in the picture. So I'm with you. Don't you think from a recruiting standpoint that it looks better if you include him and say, hey, he was a big part of the program. I know things didn't end the way either of us wanted to, but he deserved the championship ring because of all the hard work he put in. And then all the recruits are like, wow, Coach Sweeney, like, yeah, what a classy move.
I mean, talk about the word loyalty. He sat behind Deshaun Watson, took his time, didn't complain, didn't do anything. He finally got his time, took you guys far. What did he take him to the playoffs again? And then you bring in this true freshman in which he battles it out. He leads you to this victory over Texas A&M. And then you go, you know what? Which I get it. Trevor Lawrence is a very, very talented kid. But this kid stuck with it this whole entire time where most guys in this type of college football leave on first one. Like, Kelly Bryant could have left when he was sitting behind Deshaun Watson, but didn't. He didn't complain. He was in the film room. He was probably your scout team quarterback, helping your defense get 10 times better facing that guy. And the one thing when it comes to loyalty, you couldn't even send him a ring. Like, how much does it hurt you to send the kid a ring? Nothing at all. It's a slap in the face.
It's interesting. We're getting a bunch of texts on this here. 67974, if you want to text us. Somebody says Dabo's being petty. Another says he quit on the team. He doesn't deserve it. Another says the professional players who get championship rings from teams they played for part of the season were most likely traded. Team's choice, not the player's choice. Kelly Bryant chose to leave. No ring. Somebody says I'm a huge Clemson fan, and I agree with him not getting a ring. He quit. Well, okay. Interesting.
It's always so funny to me, this terminology, quit. On your team. What about your coaches when they leave kids high and dry? Did they quit or they just take the raise?
Well, that is what's forever been the absolute hypocrisy in college football and contradiction is that for a guy like Kelly Bryant, he's perceived as a quitter because he decides that this program isn't going to help him get to the NFL and he wants to pursue his best route to potentially get paid playing football because he's not getting paid outside of a scholarship to be a Clemson quarterback or the Missouri quarterback for that matter. But Dabo Swinney, you're right. Like, if Alabama's job comes open and he decides to take it, then everybody that he's recruited, they're stuck and they've got to sit out a year unless they're a grad transfer. But he can leave at the drop of a hat if he chooses to do so.
Which it happens all the time. And they're always, oh, yeah, well, the coach is getting a new job. And what? These kids are stuck. Like, they can't go anywhere. They get penalized for nothing. Oh, and by the way, everyone that's saying that he's quit on his team, let me ask you a question of whatever job you do, whether you're an accountant, a lawyer, I don't care. Imagine you're at your job. You have one opportunity to get a pay raise or to level up, but there's a person in front of you that you can't get by. You think you're just as good as him, but you only got one more year, and this guy is never going to leave in front of you. But you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity that if you leave right now, you get one more year, and then you can get that promotion. Are you guys telling me right now you're going to sit behind that one player for that one year? You have one opportunity left to get this promotion. You're just going to sit there behind that dude when this golden ticket's right over here and it's an opportunity to leave and play one more year? Come on, man. Y'all lying to yourself right now. There's no way you guys are sitting behind somebody. No way. I don't care what nobody says. Money's on the line. You're taking that other opportunity. You're not going to sit behind someone you think you're just as good or better than. What kind of athlete thinks so? This young kid's better than me. No athlete's going to say that. If he does, he's a sucker and he shouldn't be on your team.
And at a certain point, you got to make a business decision.
It is a business decision.
And we got that comparison that, you know, Jalen Hurts stuck it out through this past season, and then he ultimately transfers to Oklahoma. So, you know, there's a way you can go about it.
But the difference is Jalen Hurts has another season.
Correct.
Kelly Bryant only had this season with the new rule that you can play in four games and still redshirt.
Yes.
By the way, if he quit in his team, he would have quit behind Deshaun Watson. He wouldn't have stuck through and be loyal like he did.
Right.
Like, come on, man. Y'all are...
Yeah, that's the thing. They're saying he quit on his team and he left. He also chose to come. He chose to go to Clemson and helped you win a big game.
Oh my goodness. You know what? I don't get it with the whole quitting thing. Like, I can't see anybody in their regular job sitting behind one dude when you have one opportunity to get that big old promotion, and you're just going to sit there and be like, oh, no, man, I'm being loyal to my job. No, you ain't. You're going to go take that opportunity right over there and make that money. Get out of here with that. Y'all lying to yourself out there.
By the way, this College Football Report brought to you by FIU Panthers Football. Panther Pride is here. Get your season tickets now at 305-FIU-GAME or visit ticket.fiusports.com. Brian, we got a lot more to get into. When we come back, a Miami Hurricanes-themed backfield is now a reality in Houston. We'll discuss that next here on 790 The Ticket. We're back here on 790 The Ticket. Greg Likens alongside Brian Monroe here as we continue to fill in for Hawk and Crowder on this Thursday, which is also a game day for the Miami Dolphins as the Dolphins-Falcons do battle tonight. There are 10 other preseason games across the league as well this evening, so it's going to be a terrific one for football fans. As you know, the Hall of Fame game was nice, but I think tonight officially football is back. And we are going to have preseason action throughout this weekend. And we'll get us going. Of course, we're just a couple of weeks away now, a little over 2 weeks away from the Gators and the Hurricanes playing each other in Orlando. So football season back in full swing. As part of that, with training camps going on, with preseason going on, there was a trade today that took place as the Cleveland Browns traded running back Duke Johnson to the Houston Texans for a fourth-round pick, which, according to reports, could turn into a third-rounder, depending on how productive he is. And a couple of notes here. This is courtesy of Field Yates from ESPN. It says, Duke Johnson, under contract through 2021, base salaries that he's due, $1.8 million, $3.6 million, $4.65 million. Since entering the NFL in 2015, he leads all running backs with 2,170 receiving yards, third in running back reception since 2015 with 235, and career rushing average of 4.3 yards per carry on 299 attempts. So, I don't know how they're going to utilize him in this offense, Brian, but between him and Lamar Miller, I think, will be the starter there, yep. And then Duke Johnson will be the complimentary back. But this is cool for all Hurricanes fans. I think it's cool for the Houston Texans because they got two talented running backs back there with different styles that do different things well. I think this is a nice compliment to Lamar Miller, what Duke Johnson brings to the table. How do you envision them utilizing him, especially with Deshaun Watson? And considering they've had issues with that offensive line last year and they're still trying to fix that, they got a guy now who's a safety valve out of the backfield that I think can be very valuable to make sure that Deshaun Watson isn't running for his life every down.
Well, you nailed it on the head. He's a pass-catching running back, one of the best to do it in the NFL, and that's exactly how they're going to use him. Lamar Miller is the man in Texans, and you can see that because they haven't done anything huge in free agency as far as bringing anybody else in. Duke's going to go right in there. He's going to be running back number two. He's going to get more handoffs than he would probably with the Browns. But he's also going to be that, hey, we can go to four wide, and he can go into the slot. Hey, we can put him a mismatch against a safety or an outside linebacker because, I mean, you look at it. DeAndre Hopkins on the outside, Will Fuller coming back from injury, one of the fastest guys in the league. Kiki QT in the slot, which is another fast guy that was a Texas Tech guy.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere last year.
Out of nowhere. Right? So you talk about those three with the Duke Johnson, be able to catch how he can and put him on the other side in the slot. That's a nasty offense for them. I mean, listen, we knew the writing was on the wall when he was demanding the trade. He then hired Drew Rosenhaus, who's, you know, one of the dogs of the agents in the world. You knew the deal was going to get done wherever he went. I thought this was a great landing spot for him because he goes to a team that's going to at least compete for the division in a playoff spot. He's there with his boy, so you're not going to see any, like, arguments from, like, the number one running back, like, oh, who'd you bring in? Now you're like, oh, dynamic duo, Dade County all day long. Canes mm-hmm. back together. Like, oh, we're going to take this, you know, this league by storm and destroy it. I think the ability of what Duke's able to do catching the ball is what makes it special to go with a Lamar Miller who is just a slasher and a speedster and just takes off.
Well, and there was the move made earlier this week by the Texans to release Deontay Foreman,
yep.
who had been a draft pick for them that, you know, if you know fantasy football players or even just if you look at the depth charts, everybody thought Foreman was coming for Lamar Miller, and he was kind of a hot name in terms of what people thought he would be able to eventually become, and they give up on him. So you knew that something was going to happen, whether it was Duke Johnson or otherwise, and Foreman, I think, was picked up by the Colts. But, yeah, this makes sense on a number of different fronts, and certainly when you got all these different Canes players who are in the NFL, that backfield all of a sudden becomes, for Canes fans who are monitoring all the pro Canes, that backfield becomes one to really, really watch on a weekly basis just to see how those guys perform and how they can complement each other. And you're right, like, as opposed to what was going on in Cleveland, it felt like Duke Johnson was upset about the fact that, you know, not only was the team not giving him the straight story, but also that they kept adding more talent at the position. It's like, hey, guys, I'm here. I'm productive when you use me. Why don't you use me more often?
No shot at Duke, but when you get to be able to pick up the running back that did from the Chiefs, you got to do it.
Yeah,
I know the issues with the video and everything else, and he's going to get suspended. But you're telling me a Nick Chubb, those two in the backfield?
Ooh. Yeah, him and Kareem Hunt. And
what? Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Duke, I think, is a very nice running back when it comes to the NFL. But Kareem Hunt is a special running back because he can do just exactly what Duke does, but he's better at it. Like, he catches the ball just as well, but the run after the catch is better. He's bigger, he's probably just as fast, and he led the league in one time in rushing. And you pair that up with Nick Chubb, who's the up-and-coming guy. You know, people always say, oh, this isn't fair. This is a business. This is not a nice business either. This is one of the most cutthroat businesses out there. You can get cut, you get released for anything. So when people say this, I go, this is what you sign up for. You sign up to play the game you love, get paid really well to play that game, but when it comes down to it, you're looked as just a piece, like, oh, this piece is nicked up. Oh, this is a nice younger piece. This has no dings in it. Let's take this younger piece that's cheaper. Like, that's how they look at these players. Like, you just look as you're a piece of the puzzle. So it is what it is for Duke. One door closes, probably a better opportunity opens up for him. He doesn't have to deal with what's going on in Cleveland because obviously he's been clashing a little bit with Baker Mayfield, and Mayfield said some things in the media that he had to, obviously, we knew he had to apologize and reword because the vets in the locker room are going to be like, what? Mm-hmm. Wait. You can do the man, but you need to go ahead and temper yourself. You don't talk like that. So happy for Duke, but listen, when Kareem Hunt was there, I was like, all right, where's Duke getting traded to? Before he even demanded a trade, I go, where's he getting traded to? I thought they would at least keep him for the first 8 games and figure out a trade in the middle of the season for when Hunt gets back.
That
because
makes sense.
I don't know who the rest of they have or what young guys they have on their roster, but you look at Nick Chubb with a Duke Johnson, that's a nice complementary piece to each other. So if you can get those two to keep you for the first half of the season, then you get a fresh Kareem Hunt coming back, then you go ahead and get rid of Duke Johnson. But hey, they found a partner. They got a fourth round pick for it that could be a third round pick. The Texans, I'm sure, are happy because they were able to see what young running backs they had behind Lamar Miller this whole time in camp and said, you know what? Let's do it. So happy for Duke. I mean, you know, moving on. It's part of the NFL.
It really is. Yeah, you said that well because, unfortunately, I mean, I know it sounds cruel and it sounds cutthroat and harsh and everything, but all these players are like commodities.
Yeah, listen.
And so, you know, it's like you talk about day traders and people who do that for a living. It's very similar. And I know they're people and all this other stuff, but that's the harsh reality of what is going on in the National Football League.
And then what's the sponsor? Who's the football sponsor for the college football again? Who was it?
For
today.
FIU?
FIU just got some great news if you're an FIU Panthers out there. They just got a wide receiver transfer.
Holloman. From Georgia Tech?
Georgia.
From Georgia, yes.
Kirby Smart. Now, we know we had the off-the-field issues, but if you're talking about talent, I remember when the Canes were recruiting him out of high school a couple years ago. Four-star kid, big kid, and he had the domestic violence, I believe, at Georgia that got him kicked off. But now you bring him to FIU with Butch Davis. That's a steal for Panthers fans out there. Now, if he can keep himself clean, this is his second chance. Butch will keep him on, you know, straight path. But getting a talent like that from Georgia, who's supposed to be their leading receiver next year, good for you guys out there.
There you go. It's a little Panther update for everybody there. Second one, right?
Yeah, we got second.
Yeah.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.